welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, but actually John Cox came up with that tagline, who was sitting here in the studio with me. Many know that we were colleagues formerly. Blank Canvas was his show, and then when he went off to go to Bahamar, I took over. But it's nice to have him back here in the studio with colleagues Angelica Wallace-Whitfield and Natasha Vasquez. You're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. And don't forget that if you love The Blank Canvas, or, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I was listening to it in the car. If you have to get out of the car, you can actually listen to the whole show later on by going to our website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. You can go to the Learn menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can listen to all of the archive shows. So it's a nice way to spend the rainy seasons coming up. It's a nice way to spend a rainy day. And if you missed any information, you can go back and find it. You can forward it to a friend. We have now people listening to Blank Canvas all over the world, and they can go to the archive and like catch up on things. So go ahead and do that. So I've got the Bahamar team here, John, Natasha, and Angelica. Before the break, we were speaking about the Open Critique, which is happening tomorrow night between 4 and 6 at The Current. And that is just really open to anyone from the public to go and, I mean, for artists to have either their work discussed or to listen to how work is discussed, which is, again, a really important thing. But then also you have an opening coming up soon as well, Small Works Show. Tell us a little bit about that, Natasha.
So the Small Works exhibition is opening on May 24th at The Current from 6:30 to 10 p.m. All are welcome. It's free and open to the public. The goal of this exhibition was to hit a few different things. First, we wanted to challenge artists to kind of restrict their practice by working small. So the only restriction of the exhibition was that the artwork could not exceed 12 inches by 12 inches in all directions, mm-hmm. including any frames. So artists could submit any medium. We have photography, we have ceramics, we have painting, we have mixed media, we have collage, we have bronze, we have a whole slew of mediums that are being showcased at the show. 12 by 12 is small. Yeah,
it's quite small.
So it's challenging. Yeah. You know, I know for me as an artist.
You're always doing giant things. Actually, John as well.
Yeah.
You're always doing giant things.
Yeah, the 12 by 12 inch thing is difficult.
It's a whole new experience
whole
for an artist.
Thing.
Yeah. And a lot of people at the time when we set the call were asking, well, why is that? Well, that is kind of the point of the show, is to kind of challenge yourself as an mm-hmm. artist and do something that you don't typically do. So that was kind of the first intention for the show. And also we wanted to create a show that kind of allowed a broader audience to purchase artwork. So obviously mm-hmm. the artwork is small, it's less expensive, it's a good opportunity for people who are just starting to collect mm-hmm. to kind of get involved in collecting the cultural currency that
so
John Cox
the 12-inch painting about. Is the gateway drug to the 5-foot painting.
Exactly.
Sure
it
is.
It gets you hooked.
Basically, you're just trying to get... Yeah, no, it's a good idea, though, because we're always talking about how do we cultivate that next generation of collectors.
Right.
It can be really intimidating, because even emerging art now is really priced. I mean, it's,
and,
you know...
And it, beyond absolutely. Price, size, too. Like, yeah. We're living... The economic system, of course, is different.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Homeowners aren't... You know, like, that's all changing. And
right.
the size
mm-hmm.
of walls at home. Like, I changed my practice to work smaller for that reason. A lot of people wanted works but didn't have wall space for huge
mm-hmm.
works. So I think this is another awesome opportunity for people with condos or apartments with smaller walls
yeah.
to get work
mm-hmm.
on their wall.
And then in the context of being in this resort where a majority of the people who are visiting The Current are traveling.
And they want to pack it.
Right, and they
yeah.
want to pack it. And,
yeah.
oh, and I'm dealing with shipping artwork,
yeah.
which is a total and utter nightmare. All the new restrictions with how you create artwork and all this. But this way, people can come and purchase a 12 by 12 or smaller piece, put it in their suitcase,
mm-hmm.
and have a little piece of Bahamian culture with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
yeah.
really excited.
Yeah, I think it's a good balance. I really like the idea of the challenge, because it is something that, like Natasha mentioned, the audience of people coming through the space is vast, right? There are tons of people who walk into the space, and you never can kind of underestimate the crowd of people that come through. So, you know, the idea that we're kind of wanting to get artwork out there, to experience this, you know, not to change the subject and too much, but to kind of get to cross over this major hospitality kind of connection that people have with their experience of the Bahamas. We want to add to that, right, by adding a degree of art and culture and history into their experience. So in a lot of ways, people come and they're really like amazed to be in the space and, wow, this is amazing and we love Fair Wind and we love these other things, but they want to walk away with something. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it easier too. I mean, we've had guests who walk away.
And rather they walk away with something like an actual artwork than walk away with a postcard, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, I mean, the thing is, I mean, we do have people that walk away with coffee tables and 8-foot mm-hmm. paintings as well, but they are fewer and far in between yeah. than the ones that we think that would do it. And then also, just like was already said, the local audience, like the people who are designers who want to, you know, kind of get ideas on what could be when they're developing projects or trying to, you know, just see what and how artists think about their work. You know, it's a great moment.
Yeah, we have a good group of artists who've submitted. So there are over 35 artists in the show, mm-hmm. over 120 works. And we have a good mix of emerging and seasoned artists. We have Kendall Hanna, who's exhibiting. We have
I'd love to see a little tiny Kendall
Me
Hanna.
Too. I'm so excited. We have Hino that's exhibiting. We have Tyrone Ferguson, John Cox, Angelica Wallace-Whitfield, Jordana Kelly. We have a whole group of artists, so it's going to be a really great lineup, I think.
No, it's a really good idea. It really is, because again, you know, and even as a season collector, your walls get full, and
yes.
after a while, you know, maybe you just need some small things.
And then you know what also too is a unique opportunity. Like, I think we're certainly not doing it for the first. That's for sure, for very sure. So let me be clear in stating that. But the idea of having a successful, robust commercial gallery, which is something that Amanda and I have discussed a lot of times. Like, people come and they're like, I would like to buy
yep.
a piece of work that is a real piece of work.
Right.
I'm happy to look at something and have that experience, but I would also like to buy it. And I think that we kind of, there's this kind of stench in the background that somehow the commercial aspect of art and the kind of critical, more cultural aspect of art don't necessarily play well together. And I don't necessarily know that that is true. I think that what ends up happening is that we need to kind of get over that.
It's a trope. It's just like, oh, you know, when you become a Grammy-winning artist, you sold out. Whereas when you're like the starving musician, all you want to do is get your next gig. So you
right.
know what? All artists have to be like a little bit more real. I mean, we all want to get paid for what we enjoy doing.
Yeah. And then also,
right?
too,
it's very simple. So I don't think you should like criticize your colleagues when they're successful because
yeah.
And call them a sellout. So I think that whole idea of
yeah.
you know, somehow the market being against real, it's again, like, there's different areas to it. You want areas where there's no market,
yeah.
But you also need the market, and you need yeah. all the different levels of the market, because also that can get very snooty. Like,
right.
this Biennale is better than that one, or this fair is better than. It's like, you know what? It's an ecosystem. They yeah. all, everything has to exist to
yeah.
create a healthy environment.
And then just trying to cultivate, how do you grow into that? How do you kind of like walk with artists along that path in a way that makes them feel like it's mm-hmm. it's okay to sell a lot of artwork mm-hmm. and also to make artwork that talks about this issue or that pushes mm-hmm. back or whatever. Because I think if we're thinking about like Robert Miller and Pace and all these other major galleries that operate on a global level, right, all these artists who are represented by these galleries are selling their work.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know what I mean? The Gagosian Gallery is selling work
for a lot of money,
right. And it's the same artists that we're like looking at, you know, in other contexts.
That we're critiquing the system, yeah, sure. But again, it's okay to critique the system and still be. You can. I mean, again, it's like saying if you're critiquing the system, you can never become the prime minister. Surely you want. The two don't have to be exclusive.
Yeah,
you can critique a system or find a flaw with it and still be part of it, because maybe you want to bring something that's going to engender change.
I feel like if you are part of a system and you're not sort of looking for ways to better the system, like, I mean, that's sort of your role in any
yeah.
sort of system,
yeah.
I think. Like,
so, I mean, I think it's great.
It.
I mean,
it,
like Natasha said, there's tons of artists have submitted, which is encouraging. And I think it's a fun opportunity to curate all these, like, itty-bitty things. Like,
yeah.
these works are so small. Like, I really don't know.
And it goes, this ties back into the critique conversation that we were having earlier, because I've noticed that when we send the dreadful rejection letter to the artist, a lot of the time they respond with, well, why? Why? Mm-hmm. And there's a sense of kind of frustration and anger in that. And I get it. But I think that that's why, you know, having these critiques and having conversations about your work is so important so that you actually understand.
You know, it's great they're asking why, though, because, again, you know, in my experience, unfortunately, sometimes you'll get emails that say something very different. They won't even ask why. They'll just say...
Yeah, I was going to say
but,
that.
You know, like, they'll just say something really, like, well, not, we did, not we did receive conducive that towards the development of their career.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just say that. But, again, I think that, you know, why is a good question, and that should be asked. It shouldn't just... again, you know, we've all been, I think it's harder for artists because it's very personal and sort of, you know, from your, again, comes out of your belly somehow. It's like being an actress, right? The kind of rejection at that level, it seems very personal, but, you know, it's not personal. And when I talking about actresses, I was actually watching something the other day, and the actress said, you know, if you start thinking, it was actually someone who was writing for Saturday Night Live, and they were like, we didn't even think about it that our sketches get rejected. It's just like, what is the best one for that? What is the message? What's the best? This one just wasn't. And, you know, you have to learn to live with that.
And rejection actually helps you learn.
Yeah. And I think, again, it's like going out for a job. Like, I haven't certainly got every single job I ever applied for in my life, you know? And yes, it's not. But I think the best thing you can do from that is come away and say, well, what could I have done better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that next time I have a better shot, rather than like, oh, I can't believe they didn't want me. Right.
It's your attitude. Yeah, it's your attitude that determines.
Yeah. I mean, that self-reflection is very important.
One of the things, too, that I think is good, I know I kind of focus on it with some of the projects or ideas that reoccur in my work too, because I think these shows give artists the opportunity to kind of continue to develop their work, right? It's somehow oftentimes creatives need a reason. They you need a deadline to actually make work.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm
true.
Not wanting to put her on the spot, but like Angelica's Hope is a Weapon piece. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's lovely to see, like, how does that it lives on, like, you know what I mean? Oftentimes people treat art and exhibitions like spoiled milk, like once the exhibition's there, the opening happens, it's like the wedding, everybody's there prancing and laughing at each other's jokes, and then once the show goes down, it's like, oh, these works are from the show that already happened, so nobody really wants them anymore. Like, I feel like it has more of a life. So to see Angelica's work like develop again and like adapt itself towards this, I mean, I'm talking too much about these folks who I love too much, but Sydney Colby too, like, she also did a lot of interesting work in you guys' most recent NE9 exhibition, which is very provocative and kind of new and like, whoa, where did this come from? But it's interesting to see her continue to push it, because most people know her as a designer, right? Yeah. And not really somebody who is pushing this kind of conversation further. And I think that the work is quite strong. And I'm like, wow, like, it's not, maybe it's all work needs, strings can be tightened, but like, wow, it's amazing to see like that there's opportunities for this conversation to be pushed and pushed. I know for me, like, my fight series that started 15 years ago, I'm still rethinking like what those paintings are actually about, and that was like more than a decade ago I started making those things, you know what I mean? And I still feel like I need to revisit those again, like, I need to make more of these so I could kind of get a better sense of what's happening. And I was
sort of tying into both what you and Natty were saying. She sort of presented this challenge, and you're talking about work living on, and to add the community conversation, NE9 started Hope is a Weapon for me. NE9 started Sydney's project. And then Natasha's now said, okay, now I need works that are less than 12 by 12. And we both sat down and we were like, geez, how do we get, like, my stencil alone is bigger than 12 by 12. Like, how do we get our works down to something small? And they were both great challenges. It's really nice to see that ripple effect in the community, the echoing. I think, this is what we're looking for as artists. Like, I can take a project from there to there and there, and then I grow personally.
And how does it evolve and change within that?
I know we got to go to a break, but I know that, like, and that's the guests that we do get in, and the ones that want to talk about it, when you're able to tell that story to them,
give it context.
They are completely like, wow, like, I had no idea. Like, it's, and that's what I mean, you're injecting another layer to their experience, because, you know, just because you're a tourist doesn't mean you're a shallow person, right? You know what I mean? So you really need to get over that. So there's a lot of people who come down there who actually are really
interesting,
into the culture, going, this is the best place.
Yeah, and actually didn't know that. But I think that's the thing I get most at the museum, too, that I know you used to get, and you probably get the current, which is like, wow, I had no idea.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing and a bad thing. But it's actually a good thing, because they say it positively.
Right.
And we're doing what we need to do to expose it.
Right, go back and share that.
And it's country building, not to sound overly dramatic or whatever, but I think it really does shape
absolutely
how people understand the country. I think that the work that we are doing, that we're doing at the current, that you're doing at NAGB, that Dunga Lake Hillside, everyone else, we're doing the country's work.
Absolutely.
It's a duty.
It sure. Anyway, we're going to talk more about that after the break.
Yeah.
But you're right, absolutely. So I have three very impassioned people in the studio tonight: Natasha Vasquez, John Cox, and Angelica Wallace Whitfield, who are all part of the extensive team at the current at Bahamar, which is the art gallery and studio space. They have two events coming up. One is tomorrow night, which is an open critique for artists to bring work in and discuss it. And that's it from 4 to 6. And then next week on Friday from 7 to 10, the Small Works exhibition. So, and we can talk more after the break about both of those and more about sort of the mission behind the current at Bahamar. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the executive director of the National Art Gallery. And we are going to be right back after this break.